You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. You may have heard the news this week that North Korea will be sending a delegation of athletes to the Olympics in South Korea next month. Certainly a big diplomatic deal. But there's also news about hacking. Yes, hacking the Olympics. An unidentified group tried to take over dozens of computers involved with the upcoming games. And that means the digital protections for everyone involved in the Olympics are getting more complex and expensive. To talk us through it all, we have Molly Wood, the host of Marketplace Tech. Welcome.
Thanks, Lizzie. Glad to be here.
Can you walk me through what happened in South Korea exactly?
Yeah. So what happened was a pretty, again, according to security experts, a pretty concentrated hacking operation. It was aimed at airports and government workers, Olympic employees, and it came, as so many hacking efforts do, in the form of basically a phishing email. The hackers, cleverly enough, spoofed an email so that it looked like it came from South Korea's Counterterrorism Council, which I think we can all agree is pretty clever. And if people who received the email clicked the link in the email, it downloaded a program that created an encrypted channel, and that let hackers install new programs, hack the computer, gather information, do whatever it is that they were intending to do. And people think that because of the sophistication, that the motive is to get intelligence about organizations that are involved in the Olympics, and that it may be the work of a nation state.
Well, that raises this question. This seems like a very sophisticated attack, this idea of a nation state. Doing this, that's far and beyond the idea of a rogue hacker or someone who wants your personal info. Is there a way for the organizers, the International Olympic Committee, to protect against something like this?
Well, you know what's really interesting about the nation state versus other hackers thing is that it may be more sophisticated, but it also could be less dangerous if, for example, you have, you know, operatives who just want to keep tabs on everything that's happening, who just don't want to have any surprises. That's very different from a concerted attack that could lock up the entire Olympics infrastructure in exchange for a big payout. That is not to say that all hacking attempts are not serious. They're all very serious, but it's sort of, it's the caution, I guess, is all of the employees involved, all the organizations involved have to take the exact same security precautions no matter who is trying to attack them. But the fact is, only one user can bring down the entire organization. And so most security approaches at this point are just as much about containment as they are about prevention. The idea that if somebody gets in, they can't do that much damage.
This is an incredibly complex thing. You know, you have the organizers in South Korea, you have the IOC, and this is a multi-billion dollar event. Who is on the hook for protection and for cybersecurity?
Yeah, you know, the IT infrastructure for the Olympics is unbelievable. They essentially create a mini internet. You know, they create an entire, it's hundreds of servers, 850 servers at the Rio Games, 15,000 computers. I mean, it's just an unbelievably large infrastructure, not including the protection. Both the International Olympic Committee and the host country, to some extent, are on the hook for the cost. And it's unclear how much they actually budget, but we know that South Korea has budgeted at least $12 million just for cybersecurity. And the IOC in particular is pretty hardcore about this. They're very aggressive in terms of cybersecurity, and they were widely praised for having an incredibly successful Rio Games. The London 2012 Olympics were when the cybersecurity threat, I think, really became real for the IOC. They fended off hundreds of attacks every day. They reported after the games millions of attacks on their network.
Well, so you talk about the success in London and Rio. What are they thinking about in terms of protection, and what have they learned from those past events?
So they set up this network probably years in advance, and they test the bejesus out of it, for lack of a better way to put that. I think in Rio there were 8,000 hours of testing, of attempts to break into that network. And then, like I mentioned, you have to sort of accept that there is going to be an intrusion at some point. And so I think the focus increasingly is turning to, like I said, that containment idea. You know, if somebody breaks in, that they're only able to ransack the living room and they can't get to the rest of the house.
If you're a regular old person going to the Olympics, should you think about this?
Oh, absolutely. We often caution people to be very, very cautious about what they do on public networks, right? Like if you go to Starbucks, don't do your banking. I think when you go to the Olympics, you have to imagine that this is basically the world's biggest Starbucks and everyone there is trying to hack you. Like you have got to be either using a security token or getting a text that gives you a code so that you can log into your email after you enter your password. Because anybody with an Olympic credential, anybody with any kind of access at all is a target.
Molly Wood, host of Marketplace Tech, thank you.
My pleasure.